Chapter 39 Shining a Light on the Invisible. The research at Stonehenge has revealed the power of remote sensing when studying the past. In a few years, we will have a much better understanding of the sacred landscape surrounding the stone circles. This is archaeology on a far grander scale than ever before. But Stonehenge and Durrington Walls are dwarfed by a different remote sensing project on the other side of the world. When I first saw Cambodia's Angkor Wat on a hot, humid day, its sheer size took my breath away. You stumble on it suddenly, in dense forest, its towers stretching up towards heaven. At dusk, the pink of the setting sun casts a soft light on the richly decorated pinnacles. The huge shrine is a spectacle of beauty, wonder, and magnificence on an almost unimaginable scale. I could only marvel at the vision of the anonymous architect who built it. This is one of the great archaeological wonders of the world, the historical roots of which extend back over 1,000 years. But the ruins lie in dense forest, which has made the surrounding landscape almost invisible, until now, that is. Before looking at remote sensing here, we should offer a little background. Angkor Wat lies close to the Mekong River and a giant lake called the Tonle Sap. This lake is unusual. When the Mekong floods between August and October, it swells to 160 kilometers in length and has a depth of up to 16 meters. As the Mekong's waters recede and the level of the lake falls, millions of catfish and other species are trapped in the shallows. A combination of fertile soils, ideal for growing rice, and this, one of the richest fisheries on Earth, created a very productive environment that sustained thousands of farmers. Reservoirs and well-managed canals distributed water over thousands of hectares of farmland and propped up the wealthy Khmer civilization, which prospered between AD 802 and 1430. At first, Tonle Sap and its surroundings supported numerous competing kingdoms whose histories are virtually unknown. Then a series of ambitious Khmer kings created a powerful and more stable empire. They considered themselves divine rulers and, at vast expense, built shrines in their own honor. Angkor Wat and a handful of other magnificent palaces and shrines dominate the landscape. Angkor Wat and nearby Angkor Thom are vast. They would dwarf ancient Egyptian temples and the Maya Center at Copan in Honduras, visited by Catherwood and Stevens. Chapter 6. The rulers of the Khmer Empire created a cult of divine kingship, luxury, and wealth. Everything, including the labor of thousands of commoners, was for the benefit of the king. In AD 1113, King Suryavarman II started building his masterpiece, Angkor Wat. Every detail of this remarkable structure reflects some element of the Khmer mythology. According to the cosmology of the Khmer, the world consisted of a central continent, Jambudvipa, with a mountain, Mount Meru, rising from its middle. The central tower of Angkor Wat soars 60 meters above the surrounding landscape in imitation of Meru's main peak. Four other towers represent the lower peaks. An imposing enclosure wall depicts the mountain range that surrounded the continent, while the moat around the enclosure represents the mythical ocean beyond. Suryavarman II's masterpiece did not last long after his death. It was soon abandoned during a period of political upheaval. Another monarch, King Suryavarman VII, a Buddhist rather than a Hindu, ascended the throne in AD 1151. He built the nearby Angkor Thom, which was as much a capital city as a shrine. We can easily become obsessed by Angkor Wat. It is, after all, one of the most spectacular archaeological sites on Earth. It is also an archaeologist's nightmare. The ruins are so vast and elaborate that they still have not been fully documented. With their scale and complexity, they defy conventional excavation methods. Suryavarman's shrine measures 1,500 meters by 1,200 meters and is protected by a wide moat. The central block alone measures 215 meters by 186 meters. You approach it across a 1,500-meter causeway over the moat. It is protected by low walls adorned with mythical, multi-headed snakes. Three levels of squares, galleries, and chambers surround the central tower. Wall carvings show the king receiving officials and in procession. Battle scenes commemorate conquests. Beautiful maidens dance, promising eternal life and paradise. Astronomical observatory, royal burial place, and temple. Everything about Angkor Wat had profound cosmic and religious symbolism. Everything is on an enormous scale. So overwhelming is the site in its complexity and magnificence that it is easy to forget the surrounding landscape. In the past, even archaeologists did. Research was at rather a dead end when remote sensing entered the picture. Trained as they are in remote sensing technologies using space satellites, today's researchers ask questions about the surrounding landscape. It was known that Angkor Wat lay at the heart of a huge, densely populated environment that had housed and fed up to 750,000 people. But the surrounding landscape is under dense forest cover, and it is difficult to chart rainforests and thick vegetation because surveyors need straight sight lines. Unless you employ a small army of workers with axes and machetes to cut down dozens of trees, there is not much to be done. Fortunately, researchers have been able to turn to LIDAR. LIDAR, light detection and ranging, is a form of laser scanning that was originally developed in the 1960s for use in meteorology, the study of the atmosphere. It works by sending out a beam of light which bounces off a target object and returns to the origin. The time taken for the light to travel to and from the object is measured, and the precise distance to the target object can be calculated. LIDAR thus collects extremely accurate, high-resolution, three-dimensional data. A survey produces millions of dots that a computer can then convert into a three-dimensional mesh. From the archaeologist's point of view, LIDAR is more cost-effective than traditional field surveys. It can even be used on the ground to record individual structures in extremely fine detail. This state-of-the-art technology is perfect for the aerial exploration of large sites that lie in forested landscapes, such as Angkor Wat. Up to 600,000 pulses are sent out by the device each second, allowing it to penetrate leaves and other vegetation and reach the ground below. It can record houses, temples, and other structures under thick forest canopy. Rainforests no longer have secrets. Before 2012, archaeologists Christophe Potier, Roland Fletcher, and Damien Evans had combined a series of small-scale ground-penetrating radar projects with field research. To their surprise, it turned out that once upon a time, Angkor Wat had not been surrounded by dense forest, but had been near the middle of a huge urban complex covering at least 1,000 square kilometers and with an estimated 750,000 inhabitants. The archaeologists uncovered traces of canals and ponds, thousands of rice fields surrounded by low banks, house mounds, and hundreds of small shrines. But for all the new knowledge gained, the dense forest cover of today, especially around Angkor Wat itself, made foot surveys almost impossible. In 2012, frustrated by the lack of progress, they turned to LIDAR, since it could see through dense forest. Evans worked closely with a Cambodian organization responsible for Angkor. Meanwhile, a team of specialist researchers from Australia, Europe, Cambodia, and the United States joined forces to work with ground-penetrating radar on foot. They combined the results with carefully targeted excavations within the grounds of Angkor Wat itself. An entire urban landscape emerged from the research. For well over a century, the traditional view was that Angkor Wat had been a temple city and capital of the Khmer Empire during the 12th century. The great enclosure appeared to have housed a dense urban population, especially the elite of the ruler's court. Isolated villages were thought to be part of a heavily forested agricultural hinterland. The virtual removal of the forest cover allowed the researchers to map Angkor Wat and its enclosure, as well as large tracts of the urban area around the temple. The new findings were extraordinary. The temple complex was far larger and more elaborate than any archaeologist had imagined. A well-developed road grid had originated in Angkor Wat half a century before the nearby Angkor Thom was built, and had extended far beyond the two great shrines to take in all of Angkor's outlying temples. A road and canal network ran across the sprawling precincts, the suburbs, of the greater Angkor area. This was where most people had lived. For generations, archaeologists had assumed that ancient cities were compact, densely populated entities like Sumerian, Ur, or Athens. But Gordon Willey's early studies of Maya landscapes and now these findings at Angkor have revealed spread-out, unwalled cities in tropical regions. The word city, traditionally associated with ancient walled places, has many more meanings than we thought. Those who worked on Angkor Wat used to believe that the elite dwelt there, in the shadow of the most sacred place. But the LIDAR survey contradicts this assumption. The Great Temple was part of a complex, interconnected landscape that was almost invisible until the laser scanners came along. While Evans and Fletcher examined the LIDAR data, the research team working on the ground used their radar and careful excavation to try to determine how many people had lived close to the temple and who they were. They were interested to learn that these people had lived in modest dwellings, built mostly of materials that decayed rapidly. The researchers now suggest that it may not have been the wealthy elite who dwelt close by, but temple staff, such as priests, dancers, and officials. Once again, remote sensing provided a thorough overview. The ground radar, combined with LIDAR, the collection of soil samples, ground survey, and selective excavation, identified a grid of about 300 small household ponds within the enclosure walls. This was far more than the handful known previously. Using the newly discovered ponds and a description by a Chinese visitor in AD 1295-96, they estimated that about 4,000 people had lived in Angkor Wat's main enclosure. How many people ran the temple? The team used a Khmer inscription to calculate that the staff numbered about 25,000, but most of them lived outside the main enclosure, probably quite close to the temple. The same inscription records that five times as many people were engaged in delivering food and other produce. Almost all of them must have lived in the suburbs. The remote sensing provides us with a totally unexpected insight into the scale of Angkor Wat's logistics. Thanks once again to LIDAR and earlier remote sensing efforts, we know that the major Angkor temples lay in the midst of a huge network of canals, ponds, and reservoirs. These managed, stored, and dispersed water from three small rivers through the city and into Tonle Sap. One of the reservoirs alone, the so-called West Baray, is 8 kilometers long and 2 kilometers wide. LIDAR is becoming cheaper as field workers experiment with LIDAR-carrying drones. We can now look at the landscapes that surrounded ancient cities in ways quite unimaginable a generation ago. Whether compact or more spread out, these cities depended on the surrounding communities and the agricultural landscapes. Damien Evans, Roland Fletcher, and their colleagues have completely transformed our perceptions of Khmer civilization. LIDAR is being used elsewhere too, revealing the scattered settlement patterns of ancient Maya centers like El Mirador in Guatemala. It has been used to plot a colonial-era plantation near Annapolis, Maryland, in the United States. Within another generation, the traditional symbol of the archaeologist, the trowel, could be joined by various remote sensing devices operated from balloons, circling drones, or satellites.